Okay, the question was asked on a scale of 1 to 10, how would we rate what qualities a person should look for when they're looking for a match? And that question, I think, is a theoretical question that really the only true answer to that is in the reverse, meaning what should a person work on in themselves in preparation for a shidduch. But what a person should search for, well, it depends to a great extent who the person really is. In theory, yes, the traits, the midot that the partner is going to have, the spouse is going to have, that's going to make the greatest impact on the marriage. But in practice, in order for a shidduch to work, the question is the chemistry. And for many people, other things will play a greater part in the match working than the midot, than the traits. Yes, the midot have a great impact on the marriage, but sometimes a person will match better with someone who does not have the best midot. Some people can't stand a person who has tremendous anava, who has tremendous humility. They're going to have a hard time respecting that. So although it might be an excellent trait as a standalone, that doesn't mean it's a good trait for one's own spouse. And the same holds true for many midot. Let's say one person can't stand giving tzedakah, and then they have a spouse who has that great midah, he loves to give tzedakah. Does that mean that shidduch is going to work? No, not necessarily. Shidduch is about who we truly are and how we truly match with someone else. And therefore, I don't think it's possible on a scale of 1 to 10 to say what's going to be most important. I think that the real question is, what matches with us? It's not just a question of what traits the person has. So yes, in a true sense, in a impractical sense, the traits are what's most important. In a practical sense, that can't be broken down into a chart. In a real life situation, so then it's not only about what traits the person has, but also how those traits jive with the person, and those two cannot be separated. So yes, it's very important the person has good traits, but that has to be modified practically with who the spouse is going to be, and then that brings us to point number two, that a good connection with the person. A good connection with the person, so that's obviously very important. But again, we have to know what type of connection we're looking for. It has to be that we feel comfortable with ourselves, comfortable with the other person, that we feel natural, we feel like we can be ourselves and they can be themselves. And that leads us to a great challenge, that very often when people meet the right person, that person doesn't match what they thought they'd meet. Meaning we all develop in our minds a certain picture of who we're going to marry, and then when we meet someone who could be Mr. or Mrs. Right, that doesn't match exactly with what we imagined. So then in that situation, we have to realize that the real question is, does this work for me? Not, does this work with my theories? And that's why I said to begin with that the question is not really a question, because it's not a question about theories. Theories we can write about how we want to better ourselves, but about who we're going to match with, well, that's a very real question. It's a question of who we really are and how we really jive with the other person. And very often that surprises us. Very often we can match with someone who does not have a specific trait that we thought was so important. Suddenly a person meets someone who they see their faults, they see they're not perfect, they see certain faults about them, and yet it works. And at the end of the day, provided that those faults aren't critical, for example, if you have a reason to think a person is going to be abusive and that works for you, so then obviously a person who feels that would work for them needs to go for counseling. There are a lot of people who have seen abusive relationships at home, for example, who will be drawn into an abusive relationship, and that will feel natural to them. And this is well documented. Everyone knows that. So a person in that scenario has to undergo counseling so that they don't feel that. But provided that it isn't critical, provided that the other person's shortcomings are not detrimental, so then quite the contrary. Very often we need that. Very often I point out to people that they come and they say, you know, this relationship works, but I see shortcoming A, B, C, and D. And then I'll tell them, and if the person didn't have those shortcomings, do you really think this connection would work? Don't you think you need that for your ego or for other things? Or if they didn't have those shortcomings, maybe they would pressure you because they'd be so good at those traits and you aren't. And very often when the people contemplate it, they say, you know what, you're right. Our connection wouldn't work without that. Actually, that's a positive part of our connection. So then, vis-a-vis our relationship, that's not a shortcoming. Between the person and God, it's a shortcoming. Well, that's their issue. Our issue is, does this work for us? Can this relationship work? And that's why I think a great stress has to be put on that question. More than the first question of a person's real traits, the question is, how do we relate to the person? How's our relationship with them? The third question, whether a person sets aside time to learn Torah, well, that's a personal question. It's a positive thing, it's a correct thing. Every person should have time to learn Torah, but not every person does. And it's a question of how important it really is to both spouses and how flexible both spouses are about it. I don't think anyone externally can put a number on that. Again, that's a person's own work between them and God. And if a person wants it, so that's the right thing. And if a person doesn't want it, well, then the question is, how important is it to the spouse? Technically, if you'd ask me what's the right thing halachically, obviously every Jew is responsible to learn Torah. But that's not the question at hand. The question at hand is, can this shidduch work? Well, that's a question of what each person really needs and how flexible each person can be. So I don't think anyone externally can place a number on that. It's true that a house that's consistently learning Torah is going to look differently. It's true that for many people that's very important. It's important that the parents come to the Shabbos table, or at least the father, and he knows what the parasha is about, and he can impart Torah to the children. But that, again, is a personal question. For some people it's more important, for some people it's less important. For some people they just want to feel that their spouse is learned, and if their spouse goes to a class once a week and can come home and impart from the Torah learning they've had, that's enough. Different people need different things, and again, on the level of who matches for us, so that that's defined by each person individually. And the final point, the question of chesed, so again, that's an individual point. Some people like having guests all the time, some people don't like having guests all the time. You could have nice, good people who connect with a specific type of chesed, and others don't. I know a guy who, his chesed before he got married was to always take terminally ill children and work with them, and his wife couldn't stand that. She said, I can't connect a child that I know is going to die in a few months. Now, go argue with her. That's her right. Every person has a right to choose their chesed. So now the question is, can that shidduch work? I think it can. I think there are ways to work out a compromise. Every person has room for their chesed. Some people say a specific type of chesed is a part of them, like having guests, and they need a spouse that welcomes that too. Okay, that's legitimate. That's legitimate at a certain age. I don't think that's legitimate at an older age. I think there comes a point where that you have to figure out how to compromise on things like that. But again, that's individual. A person can say, that's such a part of me, I can't compromise on that. And fine, that's their right. They're the ones paying the price, so they're the ones who have the right to say what they want about it. Other than this, so I think there are a lot of things which are beneficial. A couple definitely gains if they have them. But a lot of it depends on the individual. I think that that mutual respect is critical. I don't think you can have a shidduch without that. And I often tell couples that although they might have a great time together, I have a question whether they really respect one another. Can you respect your spouse? And that's I think very, very important. Every person has to feel that they're married to a person that they respect, and they have a capacity to respect. I think that in the relationship we have to be careful that there aren't things that are blinding us, and sometimes a smile or a sense of humor or sarcasm, there are all kinds of things that can attract us that are not necessarily the focus of the relationship, and a person has to be aware of that. And I think that a couple has to also have mutual goals, or at least ensure that their goals can work together. The one other point, which I think is very, very important, is that a couple shares the same values, the same perspective on life. And that, I think, is very important. To a large extent, they have to really view things the same way. I always say, we cannot anticipate what challenges life is sending to us. Life is like two people climbing a mountain, and each of them has one foot tied to the other. So long as they're going in the same direction, they could climb, so long as they're working together. And imagine as they're climbing the mountain, there are boulders rolling down at them, and they can foresee those boulders. So long as they both agree to jump in the same direction, well, they're going to live and they're going to manage. The problem begins when each one wants to jump in a different direction. Then they get caught in the way of the boulder. Well, those boulders are life's challenges. We don't know what compromises we will make in life, but we know that life doesn't play itself out according to plan. That's part of life. And so the important thing is that we share priorities so that when the questions of life come up, we will both agree where the compromises have to come up. If one of the spouses thinks the most important thing in life is settling the land of Israel, and the other one says, well, the most important thing in life is learning Torah. Well, let's say the wife is the one who's pro-settling Israel, and then there's going to be a rally which she feels she has to attend, and he feels that his learning Torah is much more important. Okay, you understand, that's a small example, but it's going to have many, many, many ramifications, not only in small examples, but in big examples, and so on and so forth. Life is about compromises, and in order for a couple to really work, they have to be willing to work together, have an interest in working together, but it's very, very helpful, to the point of being critical, that they do share the same value system, so that when they make the compromises, they will make the same compromises. I know there are couples who ask a rabbi when they have a shaila, and there are couples who don't. And again, we're not discussing what's more correct or less correct, we're discussing what can work. If one of the spouses is going to want to ask a rabbi and the other one is not going to ask a rabbi, well, that's something they're going to have to clarify before they think of getting engaged. Because, again, the system has to be a system that works together. That's, I think, a very key point, that the couple can make sure that they have the same values, so that when the questions of what to compromise on come up, they'll be in agreement. They should have a similar system of making decisions. If for one of them it's the halacha according to Rabbi so-and-so, that's fine. If another one has a different system and they agree on that, that's also fine vis-a-vis the marriage. Again, the question is not a question that's standalone. It's not in a vacuum. It's a question of two real people. And for these real people, we need a relationship that really works. So again, our discussion is not about what a person should ideally do on their own. The question is, how does a couple work? And in that, that the important thing is that it works in unison, that there's synthesis, that there's harmony between the two. That's in a nutshell, an overview, but of course, you know, I have a whole dating series online, and over there we go more in depth. Okay, I hope it's helpful.